I've recently been challenged with a few verses from, or a verse from 1 Peter. You're welcome to turn to it. Just a little bit of an introduction or a few thoughts. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 5. We had a visiting speaker at our church, and Brother Reuben was there from the Way of Truth, and he highlighted some things from 1 Peter 2, verse 5, in reference to Jesus, or I guess it was Peter here, referring to the church as lively stones, a spiritual house and holy priesthood, offering up spiritual sacrifices acceptable unto God by Jesus Christ. Kind of breaking in there. But the thought of being lively stones. This morning, it's good to see each of you here. I assume that this is Lakeview. This is I didn't come this morning to preach to the church. If all of you left this morning, I'd probably stop preaching. I want to preach to the church, and you're alive. You are responsive, alert, and desiring to do what Christ is asking you to do. The church needs to be alive. Someone in our Sunday school this morning mentioned that dead formalism, in a sense, if Judas practiced feet washing or allowed Jesus to wash his feet, that didn't necessarily save him. And this morning, we can even be part, just being part of a church does not save us. We need to be alive. And my thought this morning, or actually maybe more of a theme for today, our goal is to be alive. You want to be alive. We are physically alive, but you want to be spiritually alive. That's our goal and our desire. But that doesn't just happen automatically. In fact, taking maybe a practical illustration of a building. In this case, Jesus was referring to the church as a building, fitly framed together. But if you take a building and you don't maintain it, and you don't put forth effort to pursue truth and maintain that building or piece of equipment or whatever, if you don't put forth effort, we just naturally deteriorate, and we tend to go down. And an old building that's deserted, it doesn't get better and better and better. It gets worse and worse. And I think there's a parallel to us. We need to be alert, and we need to maintain our spiritual life. Today, I would like to share kind of a two-part message, one this morning and one this evening. And it's the theme is maintenance. That's something that I think I need reminded in. Maybe the Lord knew that and brought it to my mind. But we need to, I'd like to think about maintenance today. And I was led to, I'm not sure why the Lord laid it on my heart to preach about like congregational maintenance as a brotherhood and as a body. What can we do as a body to maintain good church relationships and a healthy church that's alive, these lively stones? What can we do? Are there some practical things? And I'd like to look at that, but that's actually part two. I'd like to look at that this evening. In prelude to thinking about congregational maintenance, could we talk about, first of all, and that's what I'd like to look at this morning, is personal maintenance in our own lives. Is there some things that we need to work on to focus, just some general, anything that I'm going to share this morning that's new, but are there some things in our lot, in my life, in your life, that would be good for us to look at? And how are we doing? Are we where we should be? I remember when I was young, Sometimes you would get something that you thought was valuable. And maybe this is a little bit more in relation to this evening's message, but you young people, I don't know if the young fellows here have cars or any of you remember your first car? Why do you remember your first car? Because it was sort of special, wasn't it? It was something you looked forward to and you valued. And as far as taking care of that new car, it was something that was something that we wanted to do because we cared about it. We took an interest in it. And when we value something, the level of value that we put on it affects the level of maintenance that we put into it. And this morning, how important is your Christian life to you? How important is Jesus' teaching to you? I think the more important that is to each one of us, the more attention that we'll put into making sure that it's a priority in our life. Turn over to Matthew 22 this morning. I want to just take a few lessons from Jesus' teaching and make some practical applications in relation to personal maintenance in our own lives. As you turn there, it helps me sometimes just to think about it in a natural way. Some of you may use equipment. I don't know your trades this morning so well, what you do here, but in Michigan we have some farmers. And sometimes you might be familiar with equipment. A lot of miles or a lot of hours, we sometimes have something that we use hard. And when we use it, in order for it to function well, we need to maintain it. And I remember when I was young, one of the things that, well, I grew up on a farm. And on the farm, I assume a fair amount of you maybe know how it is on a farm. There's things that need to get done. Crops need to get planted, hay needs to get harvested. And I remember I enjoyed the farming aspect of it, and we'd go out with a piece of equipment, and you would be maybe disking or mowing hay or something, and you would hear a little noise, and you just sort of knew that something didn't sound right. And you knew that you should stop, but you were almost done, and we'll just keep on going. We'll just go a little bit further, and you just ignore it. And one of the a real practical point here this morning in relation to maintenance, I'll go into some additional later, but one of the things that we need to do is stop and pay attention. When the Holy Spirit speaks to us sometimes, and we know that there's something that needs adjusted in our lives, in our spiritual life. The Spirit will speak to us, we'll read the Word. We know that there's something that needs adjusted, but sometimes it's difficult to stop and make that adjustment. It's easier just to, in a sense, blunder on, continue. We know what we need to do, and we just try to pursue it. I can remember that well, just trying to get done. But this morning, remember to stop. If you know that there's something that needs to change, don't just continue doing what you were doing, but be willing to stop and pay the price to adjust what needs to be adjusted. Another one we talked about a little bit in Sunday school was listen. When I was using that piece of equipment, it's easy just to focus straight ahead and you think about where you're going, ignore everything else, and just go. And I think that can be that way in our spiritual lives. Our focus is on not on on those around us, but rather just on what I have in mind, my vision. And it's important that we listen and take notice. Be observant to the things that are around us. Equipment needs, naturally things deteriorate. Equipment needs greased, belts need changed, engines need fueled, and maintenance needs to happen. And so it is in our lives. This morning, I guess one of the reasons that it was brought to my, or that this subject came to my attention is, today is July, it's the middle of summer. Maybe in Pennsylvania, things are kind of a slow coast through summer. You enjoy the summer, but in Michigan, it seems like things are speed up a little bit, and it takes a toll on us. Trying to juggle time with schedules and family and responsibilities, and yet invest in our own personal spiritual life and walk. Coordinating all those things. Sometimes there's health issues or community needs. And the list of demands goes on and on, and I'm sure you're familiar with it. But that's part of this life. That's part of the life that we live. And sometimes we bring more on than we need to. But the point, my thought is, are we paying attention in that busy season of life? Are we paying attention and being alert to the things that are really important? Sometimes I need to stop in my busyness. I need to listen. I need to look and be observant. Think about what is being depleted through normal use and intentionally put things into relationships and my spiritual life. So this morning, it's my desire as we look at some of Jesus' teaching here, and also there's a number of references I'd like to look at. It's my desire that we could be refreshed this morning when we think about going forward this week and the days ahead, that our focus could be on what God wants for me, and that I'd be faithful in that. Matthew 22, I would like to just look at a number of verses here. Maybe could you help me this morning? You're familiar with Matthew 22. What does Jesus refer to as the greatest commandment? I'm looking for your input this morning. What is the greatest commandment that Jesus said? It's right in our text there, but you know what the greatest commandment is. Can somebody share it with me?
Love God.
All right. Verse 27, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy mind. What is the second commandment?
Love thy neighbor as thyself.
Love thy neighbor as thyself. So I would like to think of it this way. When you buy something, sometimes you flip open the owner's manual and you'll have a list of there's a maintenance section. And these are some things that you need to do to take care of this. Could we think of it this morning as Jesus giving us direction? If we want to have a faithful Christian life, these are some things we need to do. And one of them is make sure that there's nothing in front of God in your life. Christ needs to be number one. I'd like to just, maybe I could read verses, where does it start? Verse 34 to 46 of Matthew 22. I'm just going to read those verses and then we'll look at some of this teaching here. Matthew 22, verse 34, but when the Pharisees had heard that he had put the Sadducees to silence, they were gathered together. Then one of them, which was a lawyer, asked him a question, tempting him and saying, Master, which is the great commandment in the law? Jesus said unto him, Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy mind. This is the first and great commandment. The second is like unto it, Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. While the Pharisees were gathered together, Jesus asked them, saying, What think ye of Christ? Whose son is he? And they said unto him, The son of David. He saith unto them, How then doth David in spirit call him Lord, saying, The Lord said unto my Lord, Sit thou on my right hand till I make thine enemies thy footstool. If David then called him Lord, how is he his son? And no man was able to answer him a word, neither dost any man from that day forth ask him any more questions. So the focus is on those two commandments that Jesus gave them. And one of the points that I'd like to us to think about is make sure that that thou love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy mind. That can be somewhat of a cliche statement or something that we hear or think of often, but it needs to be practical. Here again, I'm not. My mind went to. Again, when farming, and I don't know how many of you. Well, I should say when we planted alfalfa at home, it was pretty important to get the field flat and smooth because you would use that field over and over again. So we would often work up the field. And one of the things I remember about getting an alfalfa field ready was it was often the dirt was soft, and we would use a cul-de-packer behind the disc, and we'd pull it across the field. And sometimes if the cul-de-packer or if the dirt was too soft or there was a ridge, sometimes the dirt would pile up in front of the cul-de-packer. And if you were driving along, if you weren't paying attention, you'd feel that, and it would happen really quickly. That dirt would build up. And all you needed to do to get over that was just to lift the disc up, and the dirt would flow underneath of it. And as I thought about that, sometimes in life, there's things that pile up in front of us, and life begins to pull really, really hard. And I think what we need to do when things like that, I can get focused on my dreams and goals and plans, projects. I get focused on myself, and things begin to get really difficult in life and hard. And sometimes you can feel that it feels like life is pulling really hard. And in that natural case, all you needed to do was lift the disc, lift it up. And I'd like to liken that this morning is when life begins to get really difficult and hard, can we just remember to lift our eyes up and take our focus off of the problem instead of focusing on the problem and how difficult the situation is? Choose to lift your eyes up and let God take control of those difficult situations. Choose to put God in front of you. Ask God for help. How can we do that? We live in this life, we face hard things. How can we keep God in the forefront of our lives? And I think one of the ways to do that is actually ask Him. Jesus, when He walked this earth, He wanted to help His people. And today He wants to help us. He wants to help you through the difficult things. Ask God for help. Another thing that we can do, sometimes when we face difficult situations, each one of us might have a specific weakness. Sometimes I think about like anger or some difficult thing that we have trouble overcoming or conquering. And when we face that difficult thing and we allow God to, instead of being controlled by that anger, rather allow that anger to remind us of our need for God. Have you faced anything that sometimes they're deep-seated things that are hard to overcome? And when we face those difficult things, it's so easy to just almost feel drowned in discouragement and despair. But if we allow those kind of things to draw our minds toward God, if there's something specific that you face in life, allow yourself to be drawn, your mind to be drawn to God and His desire to help us. And then God wants to be there and He wants to lift us up. There is freedom in brokenness. Not my will, but thine be done, is what Jesus said. Also, in Philippians chapter 4, verse 19, it says, "But my God shall supply all of your need according to His riches and glory by Christ Jesus." Remember that God wants to help us, and He wants to deliver us. 1 Corinthians 10:13, there hath no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that ye are able, but will with the temptation make a way of escape, that ye may be able to bear it. God created each one of us, and he knows what each one of us face. And a lot of the times, the things that we face, he allows them into our life as a reminder or a test. So as you face those things, may it draw your attention towards God and that he could be first in your life. Love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul. The second commandment is to put others ahead of yourself. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Again, I think it's easy when life becomes difficult to focus on our problems. And when I do that, life becomes really difficult and strenuous. But when I focus on what God can help me do, then it can be much easier. A selfish life is a bitter life. A life of service is full and satisfying. We talked about that in our Sunday school lesson this morning. A life of service can be a beautiful experience. That's what God desires for us. Jesus gave us a command, and I just quote from 1 John 3, verse 17, "But whoso hath this world's goods and seeth his brother have need, and shutteth up his bowels of compassion for him, how dwelleth the love of God in him?" That's kind of a test that God gives us. When we face, or when our brother has a need, are we willing to reach out and help them? Again, I think it might have been our devotions this morning. Brother talked about being willing to help. Do you love the Lord thy God with all thy heart? Is that a reality in your experience? As you look at your life, again, part of maintenance is taking something and just stopping and thinking about it. And where am I? And ask yourself that question this morning. Where is your love for God? And then also specifically think about it. Do I have love? Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Is that a reality for you this morning? I'd also like to turn to Ephesians 4. And there's a number of examples in Ephesians 4 that I think can shed some light on some of this as well. Ephesians 4, and I'd like to read from verse 21 to 32 of Ephesians 4. And as we read through there, follow along, but think about, think about this concept of maintenance in our own lives. And does Jesus, or I guess Paul's the writer here, but it's God's word, does he speak to us, giving us some specific direction? And of course, the answer is yes. But as we go through this, see if you can personally pick out a few things that can help us maintain our Christian life. We're starting at verse 21 of chapter 4 of Ephesians. "If it be so that ye have heard him and have been taught by him, as the truth is in Jesus, that ye put off concerning the former conversation the old man which is corrupt according to deceitful lusts, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that ye put on the new man which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. Wherefore, putting away lying, speak every man truth with his neighbor, for we are members one of another. Be angry and sin not. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath, neither give place to the devil. Let him that stole steal no more, but rather let him labor, working with his hands the thing which is good, that he may have to give to him that needeth. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. And grieve not the Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice, and be kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God hath forgiven you. Do you notice anything that you could work on in there? Anything that we could identify as maintenance items that we need to keep an eye on? One of the things I'd like to highlight is in verse 23, he uses the words put off. And again, when you buy something and it has the maintenance thing, there's things that you should do and shouldn't do. You need to do this so every so often, but don't ever put straight gas in the two-stroke, right? There's things that we can and can't do. Paul says here in verse 23, put off concerning the former conversation. We could have a lot of thoughts or discussion as to what the former conversation is, but let's just look down through these verses and identify a couple of them. One of them is that you put off lying in verse 25. Put away lying. Speak every man truth with his neighbor, for we are members one of another. Remember, we're thinking about maintenance. Is your life a life of honesty and transparent honesty? One of the areas that I probably struggle with honesty a little bit is, I shouldn't say I necessarily struggle with it or that I feel like I'm defeated with it, but it's easy this when we're together this morning to put on you look like Christians here. And that's good. That's the way it should be. What do my children see when I'm at home? What do the children see in your family? Co-workers, when things go wrong, is there transparent? Do we look the same then as we do now? I know there's some variations, some differences, but I think it's important that we're consistent. Honesty and integrity. Verse 26, put off anger. Be angry and sin not. Would my family or those that I relate to closely, if they were to check my maintenance list, how would they rate that anger? Is that something that that needs to be adjusted or changed? Verse 27, neither give place to the devil. What does giving place to the devil mean? There's probably a number of different interpretations that you could help me with in relation to that, but I think it could that simply mean our thought life? I think that's where a lot of things start, is in our thought life. Neither give place to the devil. Make sure our thoughts are godly. Don't dwell on evil thoughts. Think on pure things. Don't allow the devil to get into that, to where we're dwelling on negative and impure things. God wants us to be pure and even in our thought life. Another thing that I'd like to identify that we need to put off is in verse 29. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace to the hearers. If you were to grade that in our lives, no corrupt communication. It's a direction that we need to take note to make sure that our lives are what God wants them to be. This is the owner's manual. How are you doing with your communication? In verse 24, Paul changes it around and says that you put on. There's things that we're supposed to not do. We looked at a few of them, but there's some things that we need to put on. And some of those things that we need to put on, one of them is in verse 21. If so be, ye have heard. That's not the verse I was looking for. Verse 24, that you put on the new man, which after God has created in righteousness and true holiness. We need to put on God's image. Again, we talked about that in Sunday school, that aspect of serving, being willing to serve. In verse 31, I guess that's something that we need to put off, is bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking. Verse 32, kindness. Again, that's something that God is asking us to do. It's a command. How am I doing in kindness and reaching out to those around me? In my dealings, in my conversation, is it kind? Another thought in verse 23, be renewed in the spirit of your mind. When we service or maintenance an engine, we make sure that the fuel line is open and the filter is clean and there's a good connection to the fuel in the tank. If your little engine isn't running correctly, that's something that you're going to want to check, right? That fuel line. Can we make a parallel to that in our spiritual life? Is our fuel line connected? Are we connected to the Word, taking time to study God's Word and making sure that that connection is open? Because it needs to be open, or we won't be able to have that, live a victorious life. Stay connected to the source of strength is one of the things that we need to do. In closing this morning, I have a list of some practical things. Just probably some of these I may have mentioned, but I'd just like to highlight a few things. Some general practical things that we can do to personally maintain our spiritual walk. And probably one of the most important things that you can remember this morning is the need to be connected to God. Because if we fail to have that connection with God, there's no way that we'll have the strength and the wisdom that we need to maintain our spiritual walk. Stay connected to God. Know Him personally. Another, just refreshing what we did talk about, remember the two greatest commandments. Jesus said, "Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy mind." This is the first and great commandment. And the second is love our neighbor as ourself. If we keep that as a goal, that is kind of forefront in our mind, that is critically important to maintaining a good Christian walk. Another, just a practical thought in relation to personal spiritual maintenance. It's so easy to focus on ourselves and to get caught up in our own life. But one of the things that I believe we need to do to maintain our spiritual life is be willing to look out and think about others. Consider what they're facing. Pray for guidance to see areas where we can be an encouragement. We believe that we're the hands and the feet of Jesus, and Jesus is looking for people to serve in His kingdom. And are we ready and willing to do that? Are we also, another thing that I think is important is that we keep, that we intentionally do that. My mind goes again to an example on a farm. We had sometimes we would have someone come over that to help us in the field. And this particular fellow that I'm thinking of, he enjoyed to drive the tractor. He would come over, and he loved to drive the tractor. So he would hook up to a piece of equipment, and his task was to go out and, whether it was disking or cutting hay or whatever it was, and he loved to do that. You would hook up to the piece of equipment. But he had a little fault. One of them was he just looked straight ahead. Just his goal was to get to the field, but he forgot about the hay bind or the disc. And sometimes you go out the field lane, and there's a fence post or a gate. He was just driving straight ahead. And you cringe just hoping that nothing gets damaged or broken. And to me, there's a little parallel there. Can we be that way in our own personal life? Just laser straight ahead, doing our thing, and not even thinking about the side effects of what might be happening around us. focused on our own goals and our own vision and failing to pay attention to the needs of other people. Can I see the needs around me? Do I notice? Or is my focus only on my plans? Another is to help wherever you can. My son, I only have one boy, Matt. And when Matt's married, but when he was at home, Matt and I had this thing between us. Sometimes when you're part of a congregation, you'll get a phone call or a message that says, hey, can you have devotions Sunday night? And I don't know how it is for you, but sometimes when you get those kind of messages, I guess if you're really maintaining your Christian life and you see that, you're excited. Yes, I get a chance to share. Maybe that's how it is for you, but sometimes there's a sense of, really? I enjoy just sitting and listening. I'd rather listen. My point with Matt and I, we discussed it one time, and we thought, you know, sometimes you're going to say yes in the end, right? If it suits, you're going to wind up saying yes. Just say yes right out. Just when you get the message, just reply, glad to do it. Because there's a benefit for you and there's a benefit for the person that's trying to find somebody to help. Be willing to pitch in and help rather than a long explanation of why it might not work. And then finally, grudgingly, sure, I guess I can make that work. Be quick to respond. And glad to help. I'm sure that's how it is here. That's a good thing. Keep it up if that's the case. God bless you. Don't wait for others to make the first move in relationships. Be part of the solution and be active, not dormant. Sometimes there's an issue or something in our personal lives as we relate to each other and we think about our brother or sister and how I just wish something could be different. Or be the first to call and initiate reconciliation. Is there something we can do to offer forgiveness or healing? Be the first to make the move in some of those situations. Be willing to share our blessings. Jesus says, give to him that asketh of thee. From him that would borrow of thee, turn not thou away. Being willing to share our blessings is another thing that we're commanded to do. Another reminder as we think about maintaining our Christian life. It's so easy to think that life should be fair and Christian life should be, we like when it's easy and smooth. But I think there's a point that Jesus is asking us to be willing to pick up a cross. The Christian life is a cross and expect it to be, there's heavy times. It's not always light and easy and fun. There's a cross, and be willing, if we expect that, it's not so discouraging when we face it. But even as those things come, be willing to pick it up. It's what Jesus did for us, and we can do for others. We can do for Christ. Another little maintenance item is pray for our friends and enemies. When we face difficult things, be willing to pray, and rather than just to talk to other people about those kind of difficult situations. Ask God. The Holy Spirit can do more than we can do sometimes. And the last just general point that I have is to put love into action. 1 John 3:18, I may have mentioned it. My little children, let us not love in word, neither in tongue, but in, somebody help me out. Two things, in deed and in truth. Let's make it happen. Love not in word, neither in tongue, but in deed and in truth. Encouraging messages, meals, helping with projects, taking time to communicate is very, very important. Jesus said, Matthew 25, verse 40, and the king shall answer and say unto them, verily, verily, I say unto you, inasmuch as ye have done it unto the least of my brethren, ye have done it unto me. We have an opportunity. If you're part of a brotherhood, you have an opportunity to serve Jesus by denying yourself and picking up that cross and looking for opportunities to be a blessing to others. But that's going to happen That's only going to happen as we are connected with God and we are, in a sense, God is flowing through us and working through us efficiently and effectively through good maintenance. It's one, maybe I didn't think about this before now, but one thing that maybe I should clarify is that we're not good enough on ourselves to get the grease gun and put enough oil in the thing to make everything run smoothly for ourselves. Maintenance is there is an aspect of what that we need to do, but the most important part is to be connected to God, and He can help us as we surrender to Him and allow Him to help us meet the needs around us. So God bless you as you serve here at Lakeview in your personal life. God help you to help each one of us to connect with Him and to be what He wants us to be. Because when we are, it can be beautiful. And our own personal lives, we can experience victory. And as we work together, we can have experience good congregational life as well. So God bless you in that.